Hello, hello, and welcome to Mimosas with My Besties. I am Erin, and I want to welcome you to our podcast. Yay!
Yay!
Here at Mimosas with My Besties, I shoot the shit with my best friends over drinks during brunch. We check in with one another, reminisce, talk about our general tomfoolery, and speak from the heart. Our overall goal is to laugh, inspire one another, and leave each chat with a warm heart. And we truly hope that you do so as well. So with all that said, let's meet my co-host.
Hey everyone, it's Siobhan. I am in the, on the East Coast in the, I guess I could say Mid-Atlantic region, 34. Fun fact, I was trying to think of something fun, but the reality is at this point in my life, at 34, I have a love-hate relationship with sugar where it's more love than hate, only when I don't need it. But yeah, no real fun fact today. How about you, hon?
Love that fun fact. Well, today we have our first guest for season three.
Yay!
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have them introduce themselves. Go for it.
Oh, me? Okay, yeah, that's cool. I got this. Don't worry. It's going to be slick and smooth. Silky smooth. Hey, I'm Megan, she, her, and I guess my fun fact is Erin's my sister. And since she'll tell you at some point, just kind of slick, younger sister. Yes, younger sister. I'm the older sister. It always comes up. Whether or not I bring it up, it just happens to slip into conversation. So I'll start. I'm going to blow that up right now.
Yes. My sister is here. And let's see who the other guest is.
Hi, my name is Tim. My fun fact is I'm Erin's brother, her older brother, the better brother, the permanent brother, the brother that's been around longer than any other brother that's ever brothered this brother. And I'd like to know that I have known Erin since she exited the birth canal.
Oh my
And then
God.
7 months later, I launched her off a waterbed. And that is the truth.
That is the
truth. There's your fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
I mean, it's fun for me, probably not so much for her, but, you know, hey, at this point, bygones have been bygones.
Yes, Siobhan, I see your face. Yes, Tim did launch me off of a waterbed because I was on one side, he was on the other. He jumped on it. And what does water do when you displace it? It goes displaced. And so I was on the other side and I flew off of it onto the ground.
I mean, yeah, the quick details are just I came home from school. I was very excited about something. I don't know what it was, but I ran upstairs to tell my parents about this happy thing. And as I was running up the stairs, I got to their bedroom. They were on the bed and Erin was laying there cooing like the beautiful baby girl she was. And mom and dad were giving her all the attention. And I was like, Mom, Dad, I've got something to tell you. And I leapt and I fell right on the waterbed. And then, yeah, as water tends to do, you know, I created a mini tsunami and that launched Erin into, well, not quite the stratosphere, but it was more like this very clean parabolic arc from the bed to the floor.
Well, and I will go last, but I am Erin, they, she pronouns. I am 34 years old, from upstate New York. And yes, the guests on the podcast today are my brother and sister. We do, though, have another sibling who is our younger brother. So there's four of us in total. So that is my fun fact for today. But I'm very happy to have my siblings on. And usually when we have guests on, we're going to say, how do you know me? Where do you know me from? Tell me about one of your favorite memories with me. But we're siblings. So you know me from life.
From the womb.
But what I do want to ask you is, what is a fun memory that you have either with all of us or with me, or any of that? And either of you can go, or both of you. Take your time.
Or just complete silence.
That's fine, too.
It's so funny because I can start hearing
the background.
I was going to say, I heard the crow in the background. I was like, I wonder if they can hear that.
Sorry, I'm at the northern wall.
Wait, you mean this isn't the Corvid special?
Listen, never mess with crows. They have a memory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They will recognize your face. You can actually give gifts to crows, and eventually, maybe they'll start bringing you shiny things. Like, you can build relationships with crows. Fun fact.
Magnus gets change from crows. Like, what did he say? He's made, like, $2 this year?
$2.
Because they just bring him coins and other stuff.
Wow.
That's how to do it.
You have to invest for a while. You have to put down like peanuts and be cool with them. But slowly but surely, the crow friendship pays off financially.
But do not chase crows. But yeah, so what I was saying is like favorite memories with us as siblings or with me in particular or...
So I have one that actually I just remembered. Ooh. And I think it would be a neat little part here. So when Aaron was growing up, Aaron played Little League.
I thought it was sooner than this. I was hoping when we were adults. Okay, continue. Nope.
And one of my favorite memories was the fact that at the time I got to umpire games. So I actually got to umpire a game Aaron was playing in. No, I did not rig any calls her way, though. Looking back at it, I probably should have, you know, just snuck a couple in there, a couple borderline strikes, you know.
Yeah.
And we have these great pictures of Aaron after she crossed home plate. It wasn't a home run or anything, like someone just knocked her in as an RBI. And she's doing this little, like, happy strut back to the bench as I'm, you know, resetting my counter for the next batter's balls and strikes. So,
I do remember that.
I thought we were going with a different softball story that we were all involved with.
Oh, well, no, I figured if you want that one, Mike, you can hit that one.
These are all just sports related. Yeah. What was it, high school softball, Aaron? Yeah. It was a doubleheader.
It was a doubleheader and fucking Parrington.
I'm gonna tell you what the moral of this story is on the top. Stay hydrated, because if you don't. Your siblings will take you to an Outback Steakhouse and then start to worry as you down one iced tea after another to the point where the server started bringing you out two at a time. And then we start counting them. And I think we got it to 13, 14, something like that. As Tim and I keep looking at each other like, when do we get concerned? She's hydrating. But at a certain point, this isn't good, right?
And we like to believe this is the genesis of Aaron's fascination with people staying hydrated.
Yeah, you don't want to see your siblings with that. I don't know what our faces look like, but it wasn't like, oh, cool, we're having an Outback dinner. It's, are we going to the ER?
You know what our faces didn't look like? Our faces didn't look gaunt or sullen, unlike our sister's face.
Yes.
We seemed unaware
of how much she was drinking, by the way.
I was just thirsty. The iced tea tasted tasty.
You were very thirsty, Aaron. Your entire system was very, very thirsty.
It was a doubleheader.
Yep.
I had caught a ball, like, with my entire length of my body.
Wow.
I played, literally, my foot stuck on the first base, and I extended my entire body out and caught it. Like, I pushed my body that day, and I thought I was staying hydrated, but I wasn't. And I was just like, more iced tea. And she started bringing them out by the twos, and I was like,
yeah.
How many? And so we have never forgotten that moment.
Yeah.
So every time I go out to eat with my siblings, they're counting my drinks.
This is non-alcoholic.
Yes. I mean, it didn't leave a scar as an older sister or anything. Oh God.
Oh, but gosh. I care about hydration.
Earlier. Oh no. Oh no. This is my fault.
So that's why, and I am, again, another fact about me is I will say, stay hydrated. If I talk to a student, a person, anybody who's involved in my life, a friend, a family member, I will tell you, stay hydrated, because not only is it a reminder for you to stay hydrated, but it's like, oh, Aaron, when was the last time you drank water or had some sort of liquid in your system that is hydrating?
Right. I was going to say, I feel like I need to go get something right now.
Everybody, sip your drink. Yeah. Sip your drink right now.
Not today.
Not today. Now that actually goes into a fondest childhood memory. Siobhan, do you have a fondest childhood memory?
I was
that involves hydration. Now we have a theme.
Now we have a theme now. Like, how did you stay hydrated as a kid?
You know, like, I want to say, I'm trying to think of it. You know, as kids, we weren't allowed, once you were outside playing, you weren't really allowed back inside. I mean, short of you, like, having to really go to the bathroom, you were just, like, using somebody's hose or maybe going to somebody else's house for something because... at least with my dad, it's like, no, go out and move around. So I'm trying to remember. I think, well, let me say this. I know as a kid, when I was really young, I didn't pay attention to hydration at all. I just came home and we just had to deal. And because my sister was so small as a young person, my father wouldn't let us drink before we ate dinner. And so he'd have to let Tamara eat most of her food. And so even though I was finished, I had to wait until Tamara was done to finally drink something, just because she would just drink and be full and wouldn't eat and stay her same size. But then by the time we were old enough to go outside and play, I didn't want to play anymore. So I don't really have a hydration story. I guess mine is like the reverse. I don't hydrate because I'm used to not having to hydrate. And so people are like, you don't need anything to drink? It's like, no, I've gone all my life with drips of water. I can survive on...
Siobhan is a succulent. Right. You don't want right. to overwater her.
Right.
2 tablespoons once a month.
A good ice cube and I'm good to go. Yeah. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. I don't have a good hydration story.
That's fine. Tim, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just checking.
Because I don't have a pithy reply for every single statement.
No.
Sometimes I gotta think. I have to measure my words before I just let them come spilling out of my mouth like
Tim,
bullshit
you were quiet
waterfall.
For 10 seconds. What's wrong?
No, I don't have the lines that show that you're talking. Like I don't have that for you. Like it's not.
Oh god! It's a flat line.
But I think it's because he came in and out, and maybe that's why I don't have it.
I see the little lines. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he's alive.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
If
cool,
you see
great.
My face all of a sudden go.
Right.
And then maybe get served.
That's all that matters. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Siobhan. What's a fondest? Let me see. My fondest childhood memory is, well, one of them. I have a few. Is when Sean, our youngest brother, won a trip to Disney World.
Do you remember how?
I do. It was through Kmart, and he drove a little go-kart?
Yep.
In the parking lot, and it was just random because him and Dad wanted a shake, I think, at the McDonald's that was nearby. And they saw that they were doing like go-kart racing, but didn't know it was for like a fucking Disney World trip. And like Sean won or whatever. And then we get a, what is it called? A certified letter or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, it was a letter in the mail. I don't think I trusted or believed the first two. I'm like, what scam is this? We don't win things. So this is like, since the first, I was like, I'm saving it. But I don't believe it yet because it still seems like bullshit.
Yeah.
And to be fair, everyone in our family, whenever anything unexpectedly wonderful happens to them, that is the exact same mindset we all have.
Yeah, we're like, oh, what is this bullshit?
Yeah, no. I don't have time for whatever the inevitable bad side of this is. No, thank you.
And so it turns out that Sean, like, won in his age category. It was like Kmart's race against drugs or something.
Because he doesn't believe in brakes.
Because he doesn't believe in brakes, so he just didn't use the brakes the whole way. And just
so he was the original, like, Tokyo Drift? He was just drifting?
Literally. And this is when I was 12, so he was probably, what, 10 or 11? And yep. So he won the trip for him and Mom and Dad. And so then we just had to save up for Tim, Megan, me to go.
Like half a trip. So like half, it was like half a trip. We got a half-priced family trip.
We got, basically. So we had to travel separately, though, because they won the travel separate. So then me, Megan, Tim had to travel separately. And there's whole other drama about that on the way back.
Here's the thing. Tim and I handled it perfectly. You keep thinking like it was terrifying. It was
fine. I don't
think
it was terrifying. We did take a taxi from one city to another because we could only get a flight because of our flight got canceled, and we could only get a flight from Florida to one city closest to us. And then
I think it was Buffalo.
It was a Buffalo. Yep. Yeah.
God, we could only get to Buffalo.
And then the taxi last had hour. To drive us an hour to get home. Anyway,
okay. I mean,
what was the fare? I'm just so curious.
Well, no, the airline paid for it. So
nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, JetBlue played for it.
So it's like, oh God, was it like midnight?
It was midnight. Jammed
into a taxi.
The three of us jammed into it. Yeah, and I missed my English midterm. I missed my English midterm.
Oh yeah.
For
well,
to be fair, I was asleep the entire car ride. So
yeah, no, we know you were. But the only reason why you figured out what to do is because Tim turned his charm on and was like, "You got to get us home tonight." However, you did that.
Our little sister's here. Look at our little sister. We have to get her home. She can get our little sister.
Aaron, I'll use thing. I'll use the hell thing, out Aaron. Of you, Aaron.
And I made faces.
Come on. Aaron, I need you to cry. Come on. Turn on those waterworks. My sister.
But anyway.
All right, Aaron, if you're having problems with getting a tear, just do the old trick of yank a nose hair, and you're going to be crying like it's no one's business.
Why do we sound like a con family now? Listen. Instead of trying to get home during a storm, we're like, we conned a taxi
fan. All right, we realized we had to. We realized the only way we were getting home was we're going to have to do a three-person Cinderella slipper. But in this particular case, I was going to have to be the princess.
My whole point of this story was just to say that I went to Disney World the first time at 12 years old, and was on my birthday too. So I got to spend my 13th birthday there, and it was completely random because Sean won a trip there. And
was when you got to do the princess breakfast?
That's when I got to do the princess breakfast. So on top of that, Mom got a reservation at a
Cinderella's table
that you don't just get reservations for. You have to get it like 90 days ahead of time. She called the day before and they were like, play the lottery because you don't just get reservations for this table. And she got it for all six of us.
See, that's that Murphy's Law for you.
And they had far and away the best like cream cheese stuffed French toast I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hunting that toast high.
And so that's my fondest childhood memory, because not only did I go to Disney for the first time, it got to be on my birthday, got to be with my family.
Nice.
It was freaking incredible. That's I don't know why great. I'm not cursing. It's fucking incredible.
Hey, we don't got to work blue, all right?
Yeah. I mean, Tim and I have to.
But that's not because you, kid.
You're talented.
Yeah. Use your natural talents. Don't fucking dip into the lowest common denominator well like we gotta.
Yeah. It was a different time when we were coming up through the system.
And see, this is, listeners, see, this is why I am the way that I am. These are
Did
the people that
raised
me.
Did you just invite us on here so you can blame us for things?
No!
Okay, one second. Siobhan, did Aaron invite us on to the show to blame
Don't
us for
Don't bring
things?
Siobhan
you
into
this.
This
is like the origin story. This is the origin story I've been waiting for.
Oh, the origin story is this. Megan, only child. The Halcyon days. All the attention, all the glory. This is going great. I'm the good kid. And then, like, all of a sudden, boom, a brother. And then, okay, that's fine. 10-year lull.
Right.
And then, boom, a sister and another brother. What's happening? Was no lessons were learned.
I mean, to be fair, you were such a good kid that Mom and Dad were like, we should have a second one. And you think that would have reminded them the errors of their decision. Like,
nope.
After the second one, they should have been like, you know what? We lucked out on the first one.
Exactly.
The second one's really taught us that maybe it's not perfection all the time.
Sometimes you hit the lotto the first time. Why do you keep buying scratchers afterwards?
Yeah. And then after that, you end up with a kid that eats erasers and paper. And, you know, then you decide 7 years after that, sure, let's try it again. Maybe this one will know how to properly eat food.
Yes, and they do. They know how to eat food. They know how to, they just don't know how to do math, okay? Just fuck math.
Why are you talking about yourself in the third person?
Yeah, when did this happen?
New development.
Siobhan and I talk about ourselves in the third person sometimes on this podcast.
It happens.
Just a little separation.
Right, fun fact.
They were the one with
fun
the problem,
fact.
Not
right.
me.
Right.
Fun fact, we talk about ourselves in the third person sometimes on this podcast.
Is there like a nega Aaron? We're like the shadow version, Aaron.
Yes.
Which,
Except
to be fair,
that's the good one.
Well, once you get to know Nega Aaron, you find out they're really not such a bad person. You're going to go out for waffles on Sunday.
which Nega Aaron would like waffles. Yeah.
See, it all comes back to waffles.
Who doesn't waffles. Like waffles? Or breakfast foods in general?
Yeah, someone you don't trust.
Right. If they're out here like, yeah, I can't really do breakfast foods, this might not work out.
Red yeah, flag. See, a red that's... bacon flag.
That is like the exactly. like that. That was like the fourth thing on the list why Siobhan and I knew we were going to be like best friends forever. It's because we fucks with breakfast food.
What were
like,
the first three?
Okay, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit her down.
The yep. first one was after we had our whole bus situation. So bus gate or what should we call it? Lab gate? I don't know. Wood gate?
Lab gate? I don't know. Bus
forest
gate?
Forest gate? Yeah, there's so many forest different gate. Words for it. Yeah. But we got in the building. I want to say it was our science building. I won't say the name. And we got in the elevator and you said, it is mad brick out there, son. I was like, you know, you speak, you understand. The language? Is this the thing? That was the first thing. I was like, yeah, this might actually work out, guys. This might actually work out. I'm trying to think of the second yeah. thing. I guess the first thing could have been Forest Gate or Lab Gate. And then that would have been yeah. the second. The elevator would have been the second.
Third thing.
I'm sure it was some lab in that same botany class.
Same botany class.
That congealed it all together.
I think when you stayed calm during a moment that I was on fire, I think that might have been number three.
Possible.
Wait, are we things. Talking figurative fire or literal oh. fire?
Por que no los dos.
You guys were taking lab courses.
Right.
There were Bunsen burners involved.
There's a Bunsen burners. They're not yeah. Bunsen coolers.
Yeah, no. Once you have to start learning how to pull some carrier domes out your behind, just like on
invisible ones.
Seemingly weekly basis, and it's like multiple, the frequency of them just kept on coming. It's all right, we're gonna have to hold our hand and go through this thing. Yeah. Just push it out. We've made it to the other just side,
made it to the other, and then we continue as adults to pull invisible carry domes out of our asses,
right? Forged in the fire of Odin,
yes,
yeah,
yes. Forged in fire. I love that show,
yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much all those little things, you know, they just start to melt and blend together. And it's like, yeah, we'll just stick this together. It'll work out. It's like some abstract art, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's interesting because we've talked about it before, but Siobhan and I have like a couple of things that we're like, yeah, those are anchors in our friendship where we're like, that's why we're friends or like parts of reasons why we're friends. And then we continue to be friends. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that a lot with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Meg, you have friends that you don't remember meeting, which I think is hilarious.
Yes. Like, Jess and I have had this conversation because she's like, I don't remember where I met you. And I'm like, I have no memory. I mean,
and not
I have
because you're drunk or anything.
Oh, no. No. See, yeah. I wish I had an excuse. It would make more sense. I could just say, oh, I was drunk and it would be socially acceptable. No. Yeah. No, I would say there are definitely a couple people I'm like, I don't remember. And I'm afraid to, you know, honestly, I'm a little afraid to dig deep. Because, like, what if it was like a crime syndicate and we both have amnesia because we're trying to start again? But if either one of us remember, we'll have to take the other one out. I don't want that on my conscience.
Very important.
Yeah, Jesse's a fun friend.
That's very a lot important. To deal with.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
Do you
I can remember some people, just yeah. not everybody.
For the most part,
only a couple people I'm suspicious of. We're very close friends. Let's not dig too deep into it.
For the most part, and I think by the most part I mean everybody, I can remember where I've met every single friend. Yeah. Tim, can you remember where you've met all your friends?
I mean, are we talking the friends I'm still talking to or the friends yeah, that I have discarded along my path to glory?
That's such an Aries response.
Hey, wait, we're not even into the
astrology corner? Astrology yeah, whoa.
Right.
or just like what I call, like, apparently spilling the tea on your family with the stars.
No less, yeah.
Rough. I didn't agree to that.
I can't find, how can there be shade when there's only sun?
Well, not today.
Anyway, go ahead, Tim. I'm just getting worried about what's coming. You've reminded me of what's coming.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I'm I'm not too comfortable with what's coming. But to answer your question, Aaron, actually, yes, I pretty much know everywhere that I've met my friends.
Fascinating. So, Megan, this you're an anomaly.
I'm trying to think. There are some friends that...
This conversation brought to you by Anomaly Film Festival.
Right. Anomaly Presents. Also on Lunchador Podcast Network.
Lunchador Podcast
Network.
The
home of many a fantastic and informative podcast. Please put them into your ear holes. Lunchador Podcast Network, here for you.
I'm going to take
that. And remember, use code Lunchador. Yeah. And get 10% off your next audiobook from Audacy.com.
No, we have partnered with Raycon for earbuds.
Right.
10% off with the code Lunchador.
Or on Skillshare.
That's LUNGHDOR.
This is all false, but I'm going to talk to Todd, a.k.a. Matt Knotts, our producer and editor and in charge.
Do they need a voice
of...
for Lunchador? I like to do my what I call creepy computer voice. Welcome to Viridian Dynamics.
That works.
For those who don't know, Lunchador is our podcast network who we're a part of. And there's many a different, Anomaly Presents is another podcast that I'm a part of that's within Lunchador Podcast Networks. Beer Review Journal, which Siobhan and I were on, is also on that network, which you should listen to that episode because it's fucking hilarious. You should listen to that podcast. But yeah, so that's our network and our producer and co-editor, Matt Knotts, who we call Todd Murphy, because what is he? Our basic sibling. So really, I lied. I don't have three siblings. Truly, I have four.
That's what happens with Murphys. We multiplied. All of a sudden, we had another sibling.
To remind you, Aaron, at your birthday party at Knox, we also officially brought in the Burger Nuns as our sisters.
Let's not forget the Burger Nuns.
What I think
nuns.
Is happening is a gremlin situation where if we get wet, another couple of Murphys pop off us.
Oh, that's not safe.
No. Oh, no. And wait till it's after midnight.
I don't know. I like to think of it more of a hostile takeover,
So, like a Matrix kind of thing? You're just like...
Yeah. We're all Agent Smithing it.
Mr. Anderson.
Which, as a reminder, remember Agent Smith is truly the one.
How?
Oh, no, we can't. Okay, here's one question before you start, Tim. How much nerd bullshittery? Like, what's the level? What's the percentage on your podcast? What's, acceptable? What's, shut up, I'm kicking you off the show?
Yeah, because I really don't want to cross that line.
Let's dabble. I'm here for it. I'm willing to learn to be a nerd.
Nice. I just didn't want you to get booted, Tim. I can feel this is a mistake.
Yeah, I'm about to cross the Rubicon. And we really want to be careful about that. But yeah, no, it's just essentially if you think of the prophecy of the one in regards to what they were supposed to do. If we're talking if we are a literal constitutionalist on the prophecy that's given.
Okay.
Then by word, Agent Smith fulfills it much better. And in my TED Talk, which I'm not going to give away for free right now, but I will plug, I will go into the details of that.
Wow. Agent Smith is more the one than Neo.
Yeah. So I'll give a little teaser. So the way to think about it is... So first, it's that idea of there's someone who is going to essentially save the Matrix, right?
Uh-huh.
And there'll be a person born inside the Matrix. And in the strictest sense, Thomas Anderson wasn't. He was in a pod. But you know who was built and literally born in the Matrix? Agent Smith. He's part of the code.
Oh my God.
The one will be able to manipulate the Matrix. Well, yes, Neo does, but So does Agent Smith. I mean, shit, he ends up creating how many copies of himself?
It took him a while to figure that out, though. But yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
You know, just saying. You know, that's just a little moose-boosh of what I will fully cover.
Just a nibble.
On my podcast, coming to Lunchador Network.
I would say.
Tim bullshits nerd theories about movies.
Use coupon code Tim10. Yeah. Or Tim the One.
Tim the One.
Yeah. To get 1% off.
Oh my God, yes. Yes to all of that.
So we've just unlocked a whole new niche of people. Now they're coming in for like all the Matrix people. They're now, you said Matrix? That'll be a keyword.
We can't sustain that. We already can only sustain it's glamping.
It's too late. Once you hook them and reel them in, it's over.
We now have to be, so not only are we accidentally a Disney podcast and accidentally a glamping podcast, but now we're going to be accidentally a Matrix podcast?
I'm just saying, I think you hit a hard limit of how much Matrix you can cover. Like, I don't think I'm going to get a season 2 out of it.
Well, you better. It's too late now.
You can make it a corner.
Yeah, I know. I read the fine print of the Lunchador Podcast Network's contract, so I know I'm royally screwed.
You just make it a corner. We'll add it to a corner. You know, people just come in like, and here's your monthly segment. So you have like 12. You need a good 12 starting now.
Okay.
Starting now.
Got it. All right. I'll get the cork board ready. I'll 100% Pepe Sylvia this up.
Speaking of cork boards, I've known someone in real life to use red strings and cork boards to go down a deep dive into a movie. And I'm not pointing any elbows.
Aaron, why you got to blow my shit up like that, huh?
Well, I'm also blowing Meg's shit up like that.
Wow, you're doing that to my sister. Unbelievable.
I don't know to what you could be referring to.
I'm just saying I have very passionate siblings that have red string cork board explanations to movies on movie nights with
Aaron,
friends before.
You're a regular guest on a genre film festival podcast. What's your argument here?
Nothing. I have no argument. I just wanted to point that out because I heard cork boards. That's the first thing. Now, because of my life with my friends and my family, when I see a cork board, all I think of, that's missing red string.
It is missing
red string.
First thought is, what else can be explained via pictures and red string? Like, what else can I use to illustrate pictures and red string on a cork board?
It's a thing.
What else can I deep dive for you? So speaking of deep diving into things that people care about and are passionate about, self-care during a really shitty time in the world. Listen.
Adulting.
Listen, shoot back to our adulting podcast. That was a really good episode.
Right. So I'm sure as siblings, everybody's had like their moments where you can't stand your sibling. Sometimes you can't stand yourself and it's like, you know what? I'm kind of over this thing. And so different ways to kind of manage and deal with stress. One, find your village, find your tribe of people, whatever that may be. No matter how weird or funky it may look like to the outside, your tribe doesn't really care because you're all the same. And you just kind of glom onto each other and live your best life that way. The other thing is find the things that make you laugh. You should be able to laugh like a real good laugh, like a hearty chuckle, like you almost burped and farted at the same time kind of laugh at least 2 times a day. The third one is to make sure you're putting yourself in a position for success. So you can absolutely be in this valley of whatever, frustration, sadness, I'm over this kind of thing, but pitch a tent. Don't set up a whole little McMansion. Don't get grass and like develop a whole little landscaped kind of thing. Just pitch a tent, do like all the MRE kind of foods. Like it's not really fun or happy, but you know you're going to get out of there real fast because you're not meant to be there forever. So when you're up here, like, you know, hiking up the mountain to get to your happiness again, remember while you were there, how you got there, if you can. And then remember, this is what we're not going to do again. So when you make it to the mountaintop and you're over here laughing and giggling and farting and burping and eating all the amazing things, you're like, oh yeah, remember that time? Be happy, be joyful. Rainbows and unicorns and treats and yum-yums.
But also, but again, I'm going to always come back with recognizing and sitting in the darkness and the mm-hmm. valleys when you need to, because yeah. it's the worst thing. But this toxic positivity
is
real nasty and real terrible and only does super harm for mental health. I also want to point out that these are our suggestions and what we do as non-mental health professionals. Siobhan and I both subscribe to therapy.
Right.
We believe everyone should be in therapy. I personally believe that if everybody was in therapy and had somebody to talk to that literally listened to them, like, unbiasedly, we would have a better world.
And if you don't like your therapist, that's absolutely okay. You're free to not like them. Move on to the next one. Certainly therapy isn't, I know some people feel as if therapy isn't for them for insert whatever reason may fit you, but I would just encourage it to kind of do like a just mental health check-in, because sometimes you might not even realize the level of stress or frustration or just weight that has been on you. And to be able to talk to someone that has no vested interest in your other friends or family, they are just there for you to support you and to kind of help you walk through that is an amazing opportunity. So don't discount therapy. It is absolutely for everyone at any particular time in your life. You can be going to therapy when you're extremely happy. But it is common, or you hear it more often, when people are not in their best place. And that's okay too. But have somebody to talk to professionally and of course in your village again. But we are not mental health professionals. So do what you feel is best for yourself, but don't be a harm to yourself or others. Okay.
And there's free options online. Cause we know access to therapy is also a privilege, mm-hmm. but so we recognize that absolutely as well. So these are suggestions that we have for ourselves as two people who are in therapy mm-hmm. and do what we need to do to take care of ourselves and get ourselves through those really tough times, because we've been going, the world has gone through a collective trauma with this panini in the past over 365 days. And it's starting to get to all of us. I mean, what did we do in the middle of a panini but start a podcast as a means of expression and self-care? So that's what we're doing in these moments of stress and darkness, when I get to talk to my best friend and then I bring my siblings on and I get to talk to my siblings about stuff and right. have a good time and stuff like that. So
it's all about the laughter. I mean, absolutely acknowledge. Yeah. Absolutely acknowledge that you're not in a good place and it's sad, and it is okay to have down moments, because I think it does help you appreciate the high moments and the happiness. But, don't feel as if, don't put your pressure on yourself to make you think you have to be there forever. Mm-hmm. But surely there is a turn, there is a corner that will come about. So don't feel stuck or think that you can't get out of it. Talk to someone, reach out, and it can be someone you don't know if you don't want to talk to someone that you do know.
Especially because, and it's very helpful when, say, the person you're talking to is a professional therapist and has no skin in the game. And they don't know any of your family members or friends. So you can be like, God damn, I'm annoyed with so-and-so. And you know it won't get back to them. And they aren't going to judge you when you're like, my sister was getting on my nerves.
Right.
Can there be subtweeting during a podcast? Because I feel like Aaron totally subtweeting during this
That's
podcast.
That's not a subtweet.
To our face.
Sister. That was to my face. That was a super tweet.
I should have said brother. Damn, because then it would have been a mystery of which one I was talking about.
Yeah.
Nah. Too late for that.
Too late.
Which then goes back to the whole sibling thing. So I have questions. As the older siblings, This is always, I've been waiting for this moment, Meg, and Tim. Did your parents make you have
to
take?
Sorry, whatever.
We could put this. We could take this out. You could take it out in post. You could take it out in post.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. What the? What the fuck's post?
You could be a coward. You could be a total coward, Aaron, and take it out in post.
Oh shit.
No, but seriously, what the fuck's post?
Siobhan, go on with your question.
So did your parents make you take your younger sibling or siblings out with you when you wanted to have just your own I want to have my own time. I want to hang out with my own friends. I want to do my own thing. And it's like, oh no, but take your sister. Oh no, but take your brother. And it's like, but why? Why is this a thing? Because they're your insert sibling.
I was not social enough to actually have like things I went to. So I guess mom and dad kind of lucked out there. Cause I'm like, I'm home. So I watched Aaron and Sean quite a bit, but it was never really a question of take them with you because I wasn't going anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I can't recall a time when my parents asked me to do that. And if they did, we were just pretty much fine with it. I mean, there was never a point where we were like, no, our siblings can't be a part of what we're doing. Maybe we were just boring. I don't know.
No, I find that hard to believe.
And again, there's a, you know, 7 and 10 year age gap too. Right. So like there wasn't stuff that I could do if Tim was hanging out with his friends that I could necessarily be involved with because.
Yeah. No, maybe I'm putting my parents on the spot. That didn't mean anything. It doesn't matter what the gap is. It doesn't even matter if they like each other or not. You can't go if you can't bring her. And it's like, oh gosh. Oh. Come on. And don't forget to hold her hand when you cross the street.
No, I mean, I think that's just how some like that was just me being me, which was like a homebody, really.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they might have asked that. I truly don't know, in all honesty. I can't imagine that, like that situation, because it would just be so weird for a younger Megan going somewhere. What?
Yeah. No, it was just like to a friend's
what
house.
What is this go that you speak of?
Right.
But like Sean and I did a lot of things together when we were younger. Like we did baseball together.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Sean was in Scouts and then I was in Scouts. And so they did like, you know, those were separate, but like anything basically else we did together.
So then I guess the reverse question should be, how often did you have to chauffeur said siblings around to said events?
Well, I didn't get my driver's license till I was 21. So I didn't have to do much driving, even though I definitely recall driving prior to being 21, so that statute of limitations is out on that, right? Like I can't self-incriminate on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're fine. Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah. Technically, I 100% drove a lot without a license.
Don't do this at home, kids.
Yeah. No. Don't. Do not. And neither were my parents tacitly aware of this, and neither did they essentially condone the action. Nope.
Megan's face.
Oh my God.
Wow. Calling out mom and dad.
Revelation.
Public podcast.
Revelation.
What else, Siobhan, what other questions do you have for the Murphy siblings?
I feel like I have, well... I guess
I just want to point out, everybody, Siobhan has interacted with us before. This isn't right. The first time she's meeting my siblings.
You know, it's yeah, no, this has been a how long have
this
you been together?
Is Siobhan?
Right, yeah.
Just imagine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. In my head, it's like, was your relationship like our relationship? But it seems like you all have always been relatively close overall.
Well, to be fair, Meg did put a dart in my shoulder when I was younger, and that really set the tone.
Okay, mm. Listen, if I had intended it, it would have stuck. All right? Somebody was walking in front of me. One, okay?
We didn't get close until I was like an adult.
So once everybody hits their 20s, it sounds like, when you can go out and
pretty
drink
much.
And like...
Yes.
Okay.
Good. And like it was because it was like two sets. Like mm-hmm. I was the oldest of the second set, but I was also like the third and the middle child. I have all the complexes. I have like the youngest, girl at the time. Mm-hmm. Then I have like the oldest of the second set, but I'm also the third child in the middle. Like I have all the complexes.
So how does that work with the middle child? Do you and Tim just like share?
Yeah, we share the complexes.
Not really, because I'm firstborn son, so that like negates a lot of the complexes.
It does negate a lot of it, yeah.
So, okay. You know, I'm doing all right.
Well, speaking of things that give you complexes, astrology. How was that transition?
Was that I was going to say, clunky? That was great. No, that was pretty
smooth.
Good.
That was smooth. That was
pretty
it.
Smooth. Thank you. I think I'm getting really good at these transitions.
These are great.
I think they're doing great. So what we talked about last podcast was sun signs. And now that I have new people on that have new sun signs, we're going to talk a little bit about their sun signs because we have an interesting combination as the four siblings. So we go Scorpio, Aries, Capricorn, Scorpio. So our family of siblings are bookmarked by Scorpios. Yes, you heard me correctly. So
okay, here's the thing. Your tone on that is making this Scorpio a little concerned. Was there a tone?
Oh, there was 100% a tone.
I'm going to read Thank a little you, bit Kim. About Scorpios as a sun sign. Again, I'm talking about the sun sign.
Sure, why? Go for it.
Desire is the primary word for the sign of Scorpio, as it reflects the emotional depth and complexity of this magnetic and private sign. Scorpio is seen as magnetic, powerful, and sometimes intimidating by others. Internally, they can be brooding and obsessive, but also deeply instinctual and psychological. When Scorpios are able to dive into the most emotionally intense issues of life, they are able to connect with their true power. Guess what? Picasso and who's Hedy Lamarr?
That's Hedley.
No, it's Hedy this time. Oh. Yeah. Oh. She was an actress, but also an inventor. I mean, the reason that we have wireless is partly because of work that she did.
No shit. RuPaul is also a Scorpio. Leonardo DiCaprio, Lisa Bonet. Yeah.
Okay, so I desire this chart to stop being such a snitch.
Isn't it crazy when it like comes for you? It's like, wait.
Right.
Wait.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you know me?
Right.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that? What's the address?
Right. Well,
you know what? To quote Showgirls, you don't know me.
Oh, see, and now with that said, we're going to go into the Aries.
Come at me, bro.
Coming for you. Now they're going to all forget about me.
Right. We're going to all pick everybody up and we're going to ride to this author's house.
Yeah, the dominant. Do it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll plan in the background. All right.
Cars already started. I've got the engine idling. I am ready.
The dominant keyword for Aries is I am, which means they are all about the self and like to come first. Aries rules the head and eyes. Red is the color associated with Aries. Diamond is the birthstone and iron is the metal. The most likable traits for Aries are that they are dynamic, pioneering, and seen as leaders by others. Inwardly, they have a healthy self-interest and are very courageous. They may have a tendency to be aggressive and reactionary if they're direct.
You take that back right now.
If their directness isn't tempered, others see Aries as impatient, fast-moving, and daring. Lady Gaga, Elton John, and Leonardo da Vinci were all born as Aries.
Which also, by the way, since we mentioned Elton John, can we give a quick shout-out to Taron Egerton from Rocketman? He really, really brought it home on that performance.
I haven't seen it
Truly,
yet.
Truly, madly and deeply did.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my to-do list.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It looked like it was going to be. I'm not really a movie person.
I mean, it's just essentially, instead of just doing the regular old, like, music biography, they add fantastical elements, and that really what helps make it.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
You want to see Robb Stark sing?
Look, do you want to see Robb Stark and that little punk kid from, what was the movie with Ralph Fiennes where he becomes a spy?
Oh, yeah, Kingsman.
Kingsman. Yeah, that's right. So if you want to see Robb Stark and the kid from Kingsman have hot sex, this is the movie for you. I mean, they cut away before you get any of the good stuff, but...
What are you going to do?
Because fuck Hollywood. God damn it.
I know.
It's a thing.
God forbid they just show the scene of two attractive men just, you know... showing their love for one another.
Damn. Yeah, except for here's the thing. It's a toxic affair. Like, fuck yeah. Robb Stark in that. Okay, we're going to get too far into it. But that guy sucked so hard. Okay, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
What
no,
a jerk.
Yeah, he just looked at Elton as a commodity, not an actual person. I really think he used Elton's love for him to sway an unfair advantage over the choices he made in his life.
He was a manipulator. Anyway, I'm fine.
All right, so needless to say, as we're talking, I'm going to, like, the library to put that in my pickup list.
It's super fun. I mean, is it kind of like your basic biography in many ways and hits all the beats? Yeah, but it hits them well. And it's Elton John music, so if you like Elton John music,
right,
like, you're there.
Benny. Yeah.
Yeah, Benny. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for the, yeah.
And if you are a fan like I am of Elton John's classic music video for I'm Still Standing,
oh my
boy,
God,
do you have a surprise.
Oh, so great.
Still standing. We're here for it. We're putting it in the search box now.
Looking like a true survivor.
Okay, that's all we can do. That's all we can do.
Oh, we're done. It's over.
That's all we can do.
No, no, no. He was saying his prints. He had gotten photos, and he was waiting for them to get developed.
No, no, Tim.
Yeah, no, that's 100% what it was. You hear me, Bernie Taupin?
What we need, so I think what else we need to do to add to this podcast is also have our guests be prepared to suggest maybe some music or movies.
Well, you're springing this on us right now?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a suggestion.
Okay.
If you Rocket are
Man.
A band.
Done.
Nope. I'm going to go different.
Okay.
All right. If, like me, you are a fan of movies such as Mad Max, I've got a wonderful additional George Miller movie for you. And that movie is called Happy Feet 2.
Mm.
The sequel to the original Happy Feet, in which we learn more about the growing lives of Mumble the Penguin and his child.
I don't like this at all.
This movie is batshit. I mean, if you thought Babe 2, Pig in the City was crazy, I have no idea how this movie got made, but God bless that it did. It has an aria in it. It has a little baby penguin singing an aria to elephant seals.
What?
Yes.
Hey, Tim, I think you might have just hit your head and then stared at a blank screen for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I thought that myself. But lo and behold, you can literally go to YouTube right now and find Eric's opera from Happy Feet 2. And it is the music is a Puccini from the opera. Like this wasn't like they made it. It is the Puccini aria Illusivan le Stelle.
Did you, like, pull it up right now? Like, how did
yes,
you
I did.
Okay. So that is great that, to know off the top of your head. Yeah. Man.
So go see it. Probably not sober.
It's a great movie to watch with kids when you don't really want to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Great movie to watch with kids if you want kids going, Mom, Dad, Babysitter, what the fuck's going on?
Megan, can you save
are his
us?
First words.
Can you save us? What's a suggestion of a movie?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
okay.
Wait. We might not be saved. Actually, continue.
No. Well, I'm sorry. Hey, no.
Wait. I needed to redo mine because I should have been like the hot new movie this summer. It's got everything.
It's got everything.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
No, the movie I'm suggesting has everything. It has Jean-Claude Van Damme in a mullet. It has Wilford Brimley as an old Cajun guy. It's called Hard Target, and it's directed by John Woo. Do you want to see Jean-Claude Van Damme in New Orleans trying to help this woman find out what happened to her dad? Spoiler alert, he was hunted for sport.
Oh, my God.
By Lance Hendrickson and Arnold Vosloo, the mummy from The Mummy.
Oh, my God. Arnold Vosloo.
Arnold Vosloo's in this. Literally, though, it's a solid action film. If you and are there like doves? Because it's John Woo. No, they're pigeons. Because he's in America. And the final scene happens in like this what would you call it? A warehouse where all the old Mardi Gras stuff is. So there's like weird faces out of nowhere and skeletons because it's like all the parade floats. And there's a bunch of, there's a lot more crossbow and bow action than's normally in a 90s action film. But there's grenades too. Don't worry about it.
Thank you both for those riveting suggestions.
He wears a mullet and his name is Chance Boudreaux.
I invited this.
It's a good movie.
It sounds fun. Wonderful. It sounds wonderful. Yes.
I now feel like in 2 years, I'm going to adopt a bulldog from a local shelter and I'm going to name him Chance Boudreaux.
You have to. Specifically a bulldog. Like, the whole movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had explained not a French bulldog, Belgian accent. So they're like, a French Cajun? That's almost Belgian.
Oh, I was going to say, did they try to equate Cajun and Belgian?
Well, they don't say it, but like, because Wilford Brimley is doing an accent in this, and that's who we grew up with, you're to assume that his accent is some sort of American Louisiana. I don't know. This movie doesn't care.
This movie seriously does not sound like it cares. And I'm
okay,
here
but listen,
for it.
Wilford Brimley with a Cajun accent using a bow and arrow.
Does he say diabetes?
On a horse!
Thank
sorry,
you.
What?
Does he say diabetes?
Does he have diabetes?
He might. Here's the thing. You understand about every other thing he says. Because he goes hard on this accent.
Thank you both for those riveting suggestions.
Try to stop me. I can go for another hour.
I know
you're the one who asked me.
I asked you both on here. I did this to myself.
But you did it to Siobhan.
Aaron's podcast, sponsored by Regret.
I thought you were Siobhan's friend.
Regret. Foresight's a real son of a bitch.
I don't even know what I'm gonna clip out of this.
There's so much to pull from.
Like this is you're gonna go through this in post and be like, I can't use any of this.
This
now,
is the part
an hour of my time wasted.
Now, this is normally where I would say, is there anything else you want to share? But I remember that we haven't said glamping yet. So
yes. Glamping. There you go.
Meg, what were you saying?
Oh, no, you said you're going to ask if there's anything more to say. And I was about to launch into another hour.
No.
Nope. Here's the thing.
No.
Okay. So like, and
we're talking about glamping.
Can I suggest, like, maybe Bloodsport, which is really, like, the first, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme film where,
no,
like, it just really, like, you know what he was about.
We're okay, thank you, everybody. We're talking about glamping now.
I was going to say, is there a movie about glamping?
Van Damme fits. Yeah. He would never glamp.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I think he did glamp in what was it? Sudden Death, the one where he's at the hockey game.
Oh my god. Okay, there's this one where he's at a hockey game and he has a kid and it involves the mascot.
Yeah, he dresses up as a mascot for the Pittsburgh Penguins and kicks
right,
the crap
because
out of
the
someone.
Lady, the lady who's in that is like someone he know. I think he's dating her. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway.
I love this. Siobhan, this is like an emoji.
Why were you helping me? Why
this
were
is like
you helping me?
Because I'm so fascinated. This is me seeing the Murphys in their element. So it's just like, I feel like I should have brought popcorn, other snacks. I should have brought more to drink. This is an amazing event.
Yeah. Fun you. Fact, Aaron, next week on your podcast, Meg and I go a full 2 hours.
I mean, we've only just like scraped the surface
we've
of
JCVD's
filmography.
Yeah. Siobhan, do you want to say anything about glamping since
we haven't
have
even talked about Time Cop?
We have to mention glamping. Because Siobhan has to do it every episode, or
right.
We apparently poof into nothing.
Right, we'll never get our sponsorship for glamping.
No, Tim.
What's that actor?
No.
Was it Ron Silver? Is that his name? The guy who plays the bad guy in Time Cop?
I mean,
no.
Ron Silver would play a bad guy?
No.
I don't know off the top of my head. Okay.
No.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to mute myself because I respect Siobhan.
Siobhan has to talk about glamping.
And so okay. I'm gonna wrap it all back around. So on our glamping adventure to whoever our future sponsors are, Yes. We will do an amazing movie night. All our listeners can come out. We'll get like a huge jumbotron screen, or we'll go to like a drive-in theater, and we'll have a blasty blast, and we'll watch all the movies that have been recommended today. It'll be a blast.
We'll do a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie marathon.
Yeah.
At a drive-in somewhere in, I don't know, Arizona. I don't know. I just assumed. I don't know why Arizona and Jean-Claude Van Damme seemed right. Well, I don't know.
Where you will also be able to find scorpions and rams of some sort.
Yeah.
Wow, Siobhan. That was incredible.
I'm trying to pull it all together.
I appreciate it.
You were trying. You succeeded.
Again,
that was beautiful.
I am not going to ask the question today. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Because I know the answer will be yes. So I'm not going to ask that. So what I will say is thank you both for joining us on the podcast today and taking time out of both of your very busy schedules. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you, siblings, for being here today with us.
Yes,
I love you both very much. It's been very fun.
We're guaranteed to come back a second time.
And I can't get rid of us every time you boot up the podcast. Hi.
Oh my God.
we're your new co-host.
You need like a little pop in, like how the AOL when you first came on. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And Aaron gets triggered by the sound. Right. He's like, I hear that little bing, and I'm like, oh no, my show.
But yes, we hope you laughed with us and in some way, shape, or form enjoyed yourself. We would love to interact with our listeners more via our social media accounts. We invite you to submit a subject, topic, suggestions that we can use with our discretion. You can find us on Instagram at mimosas_besties_podcast, on Twitter, mimosas_besties, on Facebook, you can search us under Mimosas with My Besties Podcast. And you can email us at mimosabestiespodcast@gmail.com. That is one mimosa, because apparently I didn't want bottomless mimosas. mimosabestiespodcast@gmail.com. We hope you have the best day you can have and stay hydrated. Bye.
Toodles.
Au revoir.